America and all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Sologi and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, Pat's kind of tuckered out, so he won't be with us this week. But yeah, we had some, just as we were about to start, we had some late breaking news that we had to add on. And we'll get to it when we get to it, because, man, it was just a nice little peanut-crusted shit cherry on top of a shit sundae, wasn't it? Just, that is this week. That is 2020, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a bunch of shit we're going to have to go through this week, because it's just like, you know, I said before we started recording, you know, at this point, I would not be surprised if I wake up in the morning, turn on the news, and it says a giant meteor is headed for Earth. Because, let's be honest, there really is no other way that the world, that 2020 could get any shittier.
So we think.
Yeah. But before we get through all the unfortunate shit that we'll have to go through, let's start us off as we always do. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
Actually been the first week where it's not been all that hot out.
Yeah.
It's been pretty cool all week, like mid-70s at most, but it's been in the 60s the past couple days, which has been pretty nice. Pretty nice change of pace. I think it's probably been some of the earliest I've seen this kind of weather here. So that's been the one good thing, I guess. I watch The Devil All the Time on Netflix, which is the new big movie that has Robert Pattinson in it. I forget what the other guy is in there. Spider-Man. But yeah, he's in there. It's a good little movie. Not really too familiar with the source material, but yeah, it's pretty nice for... kind of weird movie about this kid that suffers some awful stuff happening to him, as well as this girl who happens to also be the granddaughter of this woman, along with him being the grandson, and they kind of come together and more awful shit happens. It's maybe not a great movie to watch if you're not in the right mindset for awful things happening to decent people, I guess. But otherwise, it's a well done movie. Finished up Cobra Kai season 2. And that's just a fantastic show. One of those revivals of old properties that does a good job of not just being like, oh, hey, well, let's do this thing, but in modern day. It takes the jumping point of the original Karate Kid movies and bringing into modern day of what some of those major people characters would be doing now. And it kind of goes stereotypical way in the first season. In the second season, it kind of flips the script, I guess. It ends in a really interesting place that makes me really excited for season 3 and see what happens there. But who knows when that's going to happen because of all the shit that's going on. But yeah, that's a show people should really check out. Also been watching Sister, about 7 or 8 episodes in, and that's been pretty good. Yeah, kind of stereotypical at a certain point so far of, you know, one of the kids lies to their parents and they try and cover it up and then in the end realize, oh, they shouldn't lie to their parents. You know, classic kind of sitcom family lesson thing. But it's still a good show. As for games, I got Splunky 2. It came out this week and I'm the worst player at that in the entire world. I found all of the really dumb, stupid ways to die in that. Which doesn't help by default. They have running on, sprinting. So you're liable to just kind of run off edges more easily than you might have otherwise. Mm-hmm. Which is not great. But once you turn it off, it makes it a little bit easier. But they've done a really good job of not really like shaking things up too much for a sequel. It's kind of a lot of the same kind of vibe and ideas, enough familiarity that you come into it, and then you can appreciate the various new things to it. Things like there are some creatures you can ride. There's more little secrets, all that kind of stuff that they've done a really good job with. I just have to stop doing all the stupid things in that and not fuck it up so much. But that's been a lot of fun. I also got Super Mario 3D All-Stars. And yeah, those games don't hold up in a number of ways. I would say pretty consistently the camera is terrible in all three games. Because none of them were made for dual stick controllers. Really. Obviously the Super Mario 64 had just the C buttons, and they don't make any sort of proper like 3D camera for that. So there are times where I'm like trying to rotate the camera and just reach whatever limit it has to turning a certain direction and just get frustrated by it. When you're trying to explore these areas and trying to figure out the ways to complete, you know, the main objectives you're given for that area, as well as like some of the secondary stuff, like get all the red coins and all that kind of stuff. That was definitely a frustration there, especially I started playing it last night. I was just so kind of exhausted, and I couldn't get up the fucking hill on that first stage.
Mm-hmm.
I kept just running myself off or hitting a stupid cannonball and just getting knocked off. I was like, oh, okay, I need to go to bed because this is not, nothing good is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and, yeah, did a lot better. Sunshine, you know, same thing. It was built for a GameCube controller. So they remapped some of the controls on the shoulder buttons so that you can have the shooting stuff a little bit better situated so that to get around the fact that you don't have the two-click triggers
mm-hmm.
on there, that kind of stuff. But the camera still sucks. I was in the first area that you get into after the intro and got over this like water wheel thing, and the camera just got stuck on the other side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? How do I get this? I had to like go run away somehow and trick the camera into getting over it, but it just gets tripped up on things that it shouldn't, which was a thing back in that generation, more so than it is now. And yeah, that game's just weird in all the ways that it is, especially early on where it's just a lot of cutscenes of Peach like seeing the fake Mario and like, Mario? Just not having any other words, I guess,
mm-hmm.
To say. But yeah, that one's probably the most disappointing of the bunch, just because it's the other two are clearly like the standouts.
Mm-hmm.
And played some Galaxy, got through the intro stuff, back to the big hub area, and that works well. It's just the camera kind of sucks because it was just made for a controller that didn't have a second stick on it.
Mm.
And running around these like spheroids where the camera sometimes just decides, oh, we're going to be upside down now. And you got to figure out how to control with that in mind, that kind of stuff. And that's kind of the disappointing part, but otherwise it's a fun game. That one just has a lot of going for it, for cool level design, all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to putting some more time in those games this weekend. Probably stream them on Saturday, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of show that off in full. But that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Teresa, you go first.
Oh, okay. I played a little bit of Ghost of Tsushima. I did carve out a little bit of time for that.
Yeah.
And, God, it's still beautiful. It's still beautiful. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But we did get Super Mario All-Stars. Well, they went and got it on their lunch break while I was still working. And the game has not found its way out of the kids' room into the living room yet. So, yeah. We started back up with Archer Season 10 because Archer Season 11 is starting. Mm-hmm. And we forgot that we didn't finish it. Still working on season 2 of The Expanse, and oh god, that's a great story to sink your teeth into. A little bit of Kingdom 2 Crowns, a little bit of Animal Crossing, a little bit of Pokemon Go. We did go raiding whenever raid night was. I think it was Wednesday night or something. And it was all Cresselia. There were no Mega Raids, which kind of pissed me off. But Scott got a 100% Cresselia, so that was nice. But other than that, it's just been work and work and work and more work. I don't know, man. I see InDesign in my sleep. Which, you know, I mean, I've done this before. It's just no big surprise.
It's like, yeah, that's normal. That's thing usually happens.
Yeah. It's I go around in InDesign in my sleep looking for widows and orphans, and it's kind of nuts. It's kind of nuts. Not like people widows and orphans though. But yeah, I don't know. This month is going fast for some reason. Whereas
it is.
Yeah. The rest of the year has been very slow, except now. I don't know. Kind of weird. But it's really about it. Oh, and I did an in-person interview for that MMO that I got paid to play and test out and do market research for. And I got more than I thought I was going to get for it. I got $500.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right? Right? And so I keep hearing, you going to pre-order that Xbox? I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't see any games yet. I don't see any games I want yet, so.
Yeah, honestly, I got to tell you, the last few generations, this is kind of the one of the first one I've encountered where it's like, yeah, there ain't really anything that's making me want to go out and get a PS5.
Yeah.
Though apparently plenty of people do, so much so that it apparently caused their site to crash.
Oh, my word. I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't need the shiny that bad. What I need are the games.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I have a bunch of them staring at me from that shelf saying, play me.
Yeah. I mean, my most anticipated game of this year comes out like a few weeks before December. So, yeah. You know, and it's apparently the PC specs on that thing are actually really low.
Really?
So, you know, it's obviously going to be, it'll be handled fairly easily by my PS4. So,
okay. In
other words, I'm not really rushing for that next generation version just yet.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to have the game to sell it to us. Or, you know, at least two or three. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's really all that's going on here. What about you?
Okay, well, as far as gaming goes, I finished Final Fantasy XV. And
how'd you feel about it?
I will be completely honest. The game, I enjoyed playing it. Plot-wise, it has its hills and its valleys. There are some real moments of brilliant storytelling in this game, but the problem is that it becomes very obvious, even before you get halfway through the game, that this is definitely something that has been through production hell for about a decade. Especially plot-wise, because there's a... okay. Quick question. Did you ever play the original Final Fantasy VI?
Nope.
Okay. So in Final Fantasy VI, you know, fuck it. I mean, the game's like, what, over 20 years old now?
Right?
It's fine.
Spoil away.
Yeah, okay. About halfway through the game, the villain Kefka manages to accomplish what he wants to do, and the world fucking ends. And so you end up playing the last half of the game in the post-apocalyptic version of the overworld you were just in. It's like a major, you know, and when that game came out, that was like plot-wise and game-wise a major fucking game changer.
Yeah.
For the gaming world in general. Like, and I mean, let's be honest, Final Fantasy VI also has a audio and visual scene that somehow can still move me almost to tears, even though it's all sprites and, you know, that fucking like chiptune shit. Because it's that good. But yeah, so basically what happens is, like, in the chapter before the last chapter of Final Fantasy XV, Noctis, the guy that you're playing, he ends up getting thrown into the crystal, which is like the big thing you've been trying to get to the whole game. And he ends up, you know, meeting up with Bahamut, and he ends up basically staying in there for 10 years. And when he emerges, you know, he's now like in his early 30s now, or late 20s. Fuck, I forget how old these guys are. But he comes out, and it's like all of a sudden, you know, the world is now in like perpetual night. And the thing about Final Fantasy XV is that when nighttime comes around, that's when all of the strong demon enemies come out. And now the world is basically in ruins because it's now perpetual night, and, you know, the demons are all up and about, and shit's going down, basically. Now, exactly how all these people managed to survive for a decade without sunlight, meaning they couldn't necessarily grow any vegetation, you probably best not to think too deeply about that. Yeah. But what happens is, you know, there's like a big thing. It's like, yeah, you're going to go and meet your three bros that, you know, you've been hanging out with the rest of the game. And it's like, you get the feeling that when you were playing this, like, this was originally meant to be like a big fucking deal. Like something that would have happened like maybe halfway through the game. Plot-wise. But then you actually meet all three of them and nope, they just threw a couple of douchey beards on them and that's about it. Straight up. No, wow. I'm not joking.
Wow.
And that last chapter is very, very rushed. Like, very. Noticeably. Anyway, so I finished that, and so in its place, I've been playing Disgaea 5. And, you know, if you've ever played a Disgaea game, well, you know what you're in for. Strategy RPG with a lot of amazing cartoony graphics and a wicked sense of humor. Right up my alley, right? And, you know, just trying to sort of fill the void, at least till I can get my hands on 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. So I've also just been playing like a bunch of old shit using my PS Now subscription. So, you know, I've been playing, you know, Rogue Galaxy, Shadow of the Beast, Cinemora, stuff like that. Something to fill the space. Let's see, what else? I got my copy of Norstrelia by Cord Wainer Smith. I talked, I think, a bit briefly about him recently. I also got a volume of The Rediscovery of Man, which is like the complete collection of all of his short science fiction. Norstrelia is the only full-length science fiction novel he ever wrote in his lifetime. But it's pretty much he didn't really have to write anymore because the book by itself stands pretty well on its own and it is completely batshit fucking insane. The neat thing about Cord Wainer Smith's sort of like whole future history, his whole instrumentality universe is it's weird, just weird enough that it doesn't seem completely impossible. It's always sort of on the edge of surreal. So like, Let me give you a good example. The first science fiction story he actually published under that name is called Scanners Live in Vain. And it's the thing about the instrumentality universe is that in the instrumentality universe, space travel is actually physically painful. There is a kind of radiation that is in the atmosphere. Well, I say atmosphere, it's space, so obviously there ain't no atmosphere, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
That trying to fly in a spaceship, and again, there is no faster than light travel in this universe. I got to point that out. Trying to fly through space is physically painful because of the radiation in it. It will actually not only physically hurt, it will actually drive you insane because the human mind is just not equipped to deal with the realities of space travel. And so they invented a medical procedure where they can actually physically cut off all of the nerve endings that cause physical sensation, which means you can actually fly through space without experiencing the pain of space travel. Unfortunately, this also means that you can't, well, really feel anything. Literally, the only sensory organ you still got operating that can receive any kind of input is the eyes. But you can't feel pain, you can't feel any emotion. You pretty much, they're all called, I believe, called Habermans, I believe is the term that's used. And so obviously, the people who end up getting this procedure are usually convicted criminals who take this in lieu of imprisonment or execution. But obviously you can't just have a bunch of convicted criminals running your fucking spaceships, you know, unsupervised. So there has to be some kind of representative to, you know, oversee the operations that the Habermans are taking part in. And that's the Scanners. Scanners are basically people who voluntarily get the procedure done. And what they do is they quote-unquote scan the various Habermans who are operating the spacecraft by watching and adjusting the dials and monitors that all of the Habermans have on their chest that monitors, you know, heart rate, brain, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just so, you know, they aren't accidentally having a heart attack and not knowing it. That type of shit. In return, they can, once a year, use a device called a cranch, which temporarily reignites all of the sensory receptors that they recently had severed. And basically, the plot of Scanners Live in Vain is that one of these guys, while he is during his cranching day, he is called to an emergency meeting of other scanners where they learn that a scientist has found a way to actually not only allow space travel to happen without the need of the Haberman procedure, but also finds a way to reverse the Haberman procedure for those who are scanners. Because again, with the scanners, they can cranch, meaning it's not completely impossible for them to have any senses.
Okay.
But the problem is, all the scanners are not operating with, like, they're purely operating on their, you know, their, in their scanners, non-sensory emotions and senses. Meaning that they decide, so they figure out, like, okay, if this happens, then that means we're obsolete, so we're going to have to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And the one person who realizes that this would be monstrous to do is the one guy who's also cranching.
Okay.
That's about half of the story. Yeah.
My.
He's one of my favorite writers, can you tell?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay. What else? Anime, yes. You guys ever watched Psycho Pass before?
No, but I think I have one of the games based on it.
Yeah, Psycho Pass is a damn good anime. It's, again, Urobuchi joint, so you know what you're kind of in for when you're going in. It's heavy on the deconstruction, dystopian, anyone can die, you know how it goes. But I also started watching what's very quickly becoming probably one of my new favorite shonen anime, a little anime called Fire Force. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of this one. I don't want to go in too long on it, but basically it's imagine a world where spontaneous human combustion is an actual thing. And that what happens is that when a person spontaneously combusts, they're basically possessed by a spirit called an infernal, which basically takes over their body and does a shit ton of damage and attacks anyone in range. But the person who is possessed by the infernal is still completely fucking conscious the whole time. And did I mention that they're always on fire, too?
Oh, beautiful.
Which means that they're basically, as long as the infernal is still running around, they are continuously experiencing the sensation of burning to death.
Oh, that's just fun.
And so there's like a whole sort of system of firefighters who are called the Fire Force, whose specific purpose is to deal with infernals. And they all have like specific ways of doing it. Some of them are just regular people who have, you know, machinery or stuff they use to help them fight, and then others are pyrokinetics, which means they can basically control fire in various ways. The main character of the story has what's known as the Devil's Footprints, which means that he can basically shoot fire out of the bottom of his feet like a jet. There's this one girl who can like part and control and move fire that's already there. There's this one dude who carries around a crucifix and he can focus like really, really hot, like bluish white flame in a direction. It's a lightsaber. It's a fucking lightsaber. I don't even know why I was trying bullshit. Yeah, it's a goddamn lightsaber. Like, it's not even fucking subtle. But both of that shit, great stuff. Watch it. It's amazing. And, so that's about it. We got, anything else we briefly, talk about or anything before we move on?
Can't think of anything.
All right. Well, then, I guess it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, this week, well... So, a lot of people may not know this. I've been working on a couple of sort of small little side projects on the side for ideas for, like, potential articles for the website and everything. And one of the subjects I sort of started working on is the theme of sex in video games. Because why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And, you know, we live now today in this age when we have games like God of War and The Witcher and GTA 5 and just a bunch of games where, like, female nudity and stuff is not uncommon. Like, it's something that is a possibility now that it'll actually happen. I know that some of you and especially other people on this very podcast grew up at a time when that kind of thing was
rare.
Not just rare, basically impossible. Like, it just didn't happen. I mean, there are, like, some few instances of, like, off-brand stuff, you know, like, especially the infamous, like, Custer's Last Stand, which, you know, was unauthorized Atari gaming software. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. But in actual, like, major AAA gaming titles, it just wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Now, at least as far as, like, American game design is. Now, if we're going over to Europe, that's a little bit of a different story, because culturally, they don't have necessarily the same hang-ups on nudity as we necessarily do. You know, like, you know, toplessness is a fairly not uncommon thing to see in just, like, regular-ass television programs over in Europe. I mean, there was a tabloid that for years famously showed topless glamour models on their page 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everybody wonders, is like, what was the first major AAA game where you're actually have sex in the game? And it's not like, you know, and it's not like a mod necessarily, or it's not a glitch, or it's not like something like the developer hid there as a joke or something, because believe it or not, that did happen once or twice. No. There is one game. And to do this, you have to find this, you have to go all the way back to 2004. That's right, folks. We're talking about Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Oh, yeah.
And Hot Coffee.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this was a fucking... This was huge fucking news back then. I mean, it was, and by that, I mean, it was literally covered by mainstream news. Like, it made fucking headlines.
Yeah.
I know you certainly remember it. And yeah. I don't know, Chris, maybe you remember it. You might have been too young or not, but...
No, yeah. I remember it.
Yeah.
Very stupid situation.
It was, and we'll explain why. But first off, we'll explain. What is Hot Coffee? Why is it called Hot Coffee? Well, San Andreas, I believe, was the first GTA game where you actually, like, formed a relationship with, like, a girlfriend. Now, in games like, you know, I know, like, in GTA 4, they also did that. I know to an extent it's also in GTA 5. But San Andreas was, like, the first game where it's, like, explicit that you're actually, like, dating someone. And the thing was, once you get to a certain point in the relationship, yeah, you can go into her house or apartment or whatever and have sex. Now, in the regular game, when this happens, the scene just kind of fades to black. You know, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
But as it happens, that wasn't originally the plan. Apparently, deep in the game's code, the developers originally had this idea of where CJ could actually have sex with his girlfriend. Not only that, but it's fully animated, and you get to actually control the action. You could change position, shit like that. Now, they never went through with this, obviously. They never really even finished it, because they didn't even add any, like, nude models or anything for the characters to do it, because, well, you'll see what I mean in a second. But, so yeah, the game went out, and this thing was buried in the code. It was never supposed to actually go out, and, you know, they figured that they had buried it deep enough that no one would be able to actually find it without an excessive amount of searching and attention. Yeah, don't ever tempt the hacker community like that. Just don't, because that's exactly what they freaking did. Some users, you know, managed to, I guess, gate break their PS2s and Xboxes, and they managed to dig around in the code. And they got the, using some modding tools, they were able to pull the minigame out of the code and actually do it. Now, anybody who ever, like, looked through this, you know, actually knew anything about video games or technology and knew enough about how this stuff works and just researched it for 5 freaking minutes, they'd find out that, amongst other things, there is no nudity.
Mm-mm.
The entire action is clothed. It's really awkward and stiff looking. It looks not even like Gary's Mod animations look this primitive.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And as soon as they found it, they started spreading the word on the internet. Mm-hmm. And oh yeah, you better believe that this caused some shit stirring. First and foremost, as you could probably imagine, the entertainment software rating board were not very happy. Because they did not know that this content was in the game, which meant they had to go back and temporarily bump the game's rating up from mature to AO for adults only. Then Senator Hillary Clinton, actually, because, you know, she's Hillary Clinton, suggested that new regulations be put on video game sales. The Federal Trade Commission ended up getting in on this shit.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, trying to find out, like, if Rockstar intentionally tried to undermine the ESRB. Again, no, they didn't. This shit was buried in the code. It was never supposed to come out. In New York, an 85-year-old grandmother named Florence Cohen, who actually filed a class action lawsuit against Rockstar North. By the way, you know, she bought that game for her 14-year-old grandson.
No. 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 No.
Yeah, that's, I'm the same. I'm like, lady, it says there right on the freaking cover, mature, 17.
But Grandma, all my friends are playing it. Yeah.
Yeah, see, this was when I worked at GameStop, and that question never came up. I'm like, okay, are you okay with nipples? It's like, where are they? Like, all pixel? Nope! Tits Ahoy.
Oh, the new flavor of Chips Ahoy.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, everybody's favorite asshole, Jack Thompson, got in on the game.
Oh, boy.
No pun intended. Because he's a freaking ambulance chaser, and that's what he does.
Yep.
Or did, might I add. He's disbarred now.
Good.
Yeah.
At least there's some justice.
Mm-hmm. In 2005, Senators Hillary Clinton, Evan Baugh, and Joe fucking Lieberman introduced the Family Entertainment Protection Act, which called for a federal mandate enforcement of the ESRB rating system in order to protect children from inappropriate content. That, of course, didn't happen. City of Los Angeles filed a lawsuit against Take-Two. Eventually, though, as I guess most of you know, video games are now considered protected speech in the United States, thanks to the Supreme Court ruling. I believe his name was Leland Yee, the senator who later got busted for gun trafficking.
Mm. Wow. Color yeah. Me shocked.
And it's also one of the very brief handful of times where Antonin Scalia was actually on point. Yeah, he ended up being one of the signatories on the majority opinion.
Wow.
Even went so far as to say, like, you know, you say all of this about things being inappropriate children, but, you know, the Grimm's fairy tales are pretty grim. Uh-huh. And yet I see you probably have no problem telling those stories to your children and grandchildren.
Damn.
Stop clock. You know what they say. But it actually caused some serious shakeup at Take-Two. And they ended up having to get a new CEO. The CEO stepped down. They got a new one, Strauss Zelnick. He was there until this year. And now, of course, I'm pretty sure, like, not long after this game came out, we got the first God of War game. And that's significant because the first God of War game is the first AAA game I know of in my lifetime that had full-on female nudity and actual sex minigames in it.
Yep.
Yuppers. And then eventually, you know, The Witcher and that series would come out. And, of course, the first Witcher didn't really have any much nudity outside of those collecting cards that you can get. But Witcher 2 is a whole other story. So, yeah, now this stuff is just something that's expected.
Yeah.
Like, we, you know, it's not a thing that's considered impossible in gaming anymore. It's a fairly common thing. And in a weird way, we've got hot coffee to thank for it. Because hot coffee inadvertently broke that taboo. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so moving on from there. We start off with the show proper, and as always, we have to do our show proper with the assholes of the week. And our first asshole of the week is Jim Cramer, that Louis C.K. lookalike from what channel is he on? It's like CNBC.
I think.
Yeah, Mad Money.
Mm-hmm. The guy who was the guy was considered like a financial guru. And, like, the Pied Piper of, like, regular investing. And then he ended up giving a bunch of bad advice on the housing bubble just, like, a few days before it actually burst. And yet somehow he still has a career. Go figure. Well, he was interviewing Nancy Pelosi. And while he was doing that, he called her Crazy Nancy to her face.
Yep.
Saying he was just imitating President Trump.
That's no excuse. Isn't that sad that we have to say, like he's a little kid, just because you heard the president say it doesn't mean you can say it too. We've never had to do anything like this before in our lives.
No. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, if you actually watch the clip, he doesn't even, like, qualify it in the beginning with saying that, you know, he's imitating the president. No, he just straight up says it.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of the way that you get the impression he probably uses that nickname all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe. And, or was he trying to, like, shock jock things?
Well, if you've ever seen the show that he usually hosts, yeah, kinda. Because that's basically what his show is, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he's even got a soundboard and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what those big buttons on that thing, on that console of his are. It's literally a bunch of sound effects and graphic shit.
Oh
that
my God.
Yeah. Like, his callers even have, like, a catchphrase that they use. Like, it's...
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and his whole thing with that saying, let's see, sorry, that was the president. I have such reverence for the office. I would never use that term.
Mm-hmm.
And she responds, but you just did.
Mm-hmm.
To which he says, you know, I was being facetious. Mm-hmm. I respect you. Anyone who gives their life to public service and is Speaker of the House should not be called that name. Which, like,
you just did.
Yeah. And you can tell that she is used to this kind of shit as a woman.
Yeah.
That she just has to kind of like laugh it off to not offend him.
Mm-hmm.
And any other dude wants to get offended on his behalf.
Yeah, she has that kind of deep, simmering, quiet fury where you know in her head all she wants to do is tear his throat out with her bare hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they definitely...
Also, just imagine, this is CNBC. It's like the bougiest of bougie news networks.
Yeah. And, you know, he could have, you know, quieted it down by, you know, making
he
a big apology.
He could have laughed it. He's like, I'm just joking. No.
Well, even
he
just make a formal apology
on
Twitter afterwards, you know, relaying like what he was trying to go for and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of did later on the show itself, but that's not really the great place to do it. Because when he got on Twitter, he just started attacking everybody that criticized him. Which is, you know, a great way to show that, you know, you didn't mean what you said. It's just to dig in further. And so, yeah, they got a number of Twitter posts here. One rep, Eric Swalwell. Said Jim Cramer would never say this to a man. Speaker Pelosi slays Cramer's chauvinism with her dignity.
Mm-hmm.
See, Nancy Pelosi is the most powerful woman in the United States. Mediocre shits like Jim Cramer still cannot show respect to her because we've normalized mistreating women.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I think there's too much deference to people in power when it comes to how they interview politicians. But Jim Cramer using the Crazy Nancy nickname, even jokingly, is unprofessional garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, not wrong. Well, and he got on Twitter and was like, it disgusts me that she is called Crazy Nancy. She has spent her whole life in public services. My critics didn't listen to why I mentioned it because it is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you didn't really even, you shouldn't have even said it if you actually respected her. See, y'all said, I am astonished that the president calls her that. Go call for my firing and then go listen to the tape.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I love? The president goes unchecked, calls her crazy forever. I call it as a horrible, and I call it out as horrible, and I am called out for doing so here. What a travesty. It's like, It's like he gets, like, he's the president, so it's hard for the average person to actually be able to do anything but call him out for it. Whereas Jim Cramer is much more accessible. And also, if he is disgusted by it, don't use it.
Yeah. Right.
If you're disgusted by something, don't repeat it.
Yeah.
If you're disgusted by curse words, don't use them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, and now for a little story that came out of my part of the woods, my state. Turns out that in an ICE facility right here in my home state of Georgia, turns out there's been a doctor there who's been giving many of the female detainees involuntary hysterectomies.
Yeah.
Now, it's still not entirely sure if he's, like, going by, like, state orders or if this is just, like, a case of a dude who's trying to, like,
do his own eugenics.
Do his own eugenics, or maybe just to get more money, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, but...
But either way, this is the type of shit that people get dragged to The Hague for. So...
Yeah.
Even well, if it's not done
the US
under...
doesn't recognize it.
Yeah. Even if it's not done under government direction, it's still done under, you know, in a government facility, technically, even though it's it's privately owned. Did I mention that? Yeah,
well,
ICE has actually been throwing them in for-profit prisons, basically.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's gross. It's gross all around, and it's awful.
Especially
what's really awful is the fact that, you know, they didn't really need to come up with any new procedures or anything to do this kind of thing, because this type of shit used to be fairly common government policy up until, like, the 1970s.
Even into the 80s, they were doing this forced sterilization of Native American women.
Or in Puerto Rico. Holy shit, they did it so much in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
In the South, I mean, they used to call them Mississippi hysterectomies.
Yeah.
There's a reason why, especially older black women in the South, a lot of them really do not trust doctors. And this is one of the reasons.
Yeah, and it was it's good that we had a whistleblower here call this out.
Yeah, nurse.
To the point.
Yeah.
Don Wooten.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that he had the nickname Uterus Collector.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally what they called him, the Uterus Collector. And literally the only way she found out about this is because a bunch of those women came up to her and is like, I just found out I had a hysterectomy. Why? And she couldn't tell them because it was literally the first she'd heard of it. And then she started to notice a pattern emerging.
Yep.
But yeah, obviously, if this is being done under some sort of government mandate, well, that's just monstrous. But the fact that it's, like, isolated to this one particular location makes it look like it might be something not really any less egregious, but not quite as far-reaching. At least as far as we know right now.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
I mean, we apparently, keep in mind, this isn't just a thing that's alone here in the U.S. either. They found out this year that up in Canada, up in Phil's neck of the woods, that they were still sterilizing natives up there. So.
Yep. Yeah, they have their own shame.
Oh, yeah. And
the
then
way
to
that they treat them is shameful.
Yeah. No. No, Indians get treated like shit wherever they go.
Yeah.
It's in North America, South America, it's...
Oh, yeah. There was just a story that came out about some South Americans bragging about beating to death an indigenous person.
Yeah. It was probably in Bolivia. But, yeah. So, and our last bit of assholery of the week. So, everybody here remembers that awful, shameful chapter where the police fired tear gas at peaceful protesters in Lafayette Square.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the president could have his little photo op next to the church with his upside-down Bible and everything.
Yep.
Well, apparently they confirmed this week that apparently they were also considering using a heat ray to disperse the protesters. Now, I know you're thinking, wait, heat rays, that exists? Well, the actual thing that they use, it's not called a heat ray. It's a, see if I can remember what its actual name is. I think it's called like an ADS, like an active denial system. Yeah, that's what it is, an active denial system. Basically what it is it's a non-lethal directed energy weapon. It kind of looks like a satellite dish, but it's like octagonal, and basically what it does is it shoots microwaves in a specific area. It's non-lethal, and by all accounts, it doesn't seem to really do any long-lasting permanent damage, but it basically makes it feel like your skin is on fire.
Yeah. They're also looking at an acoustic device as well.
Yeah, one of those...
Do something similar.
I think they're called sound cannons. One of those, like, things that, like, shoot out a high-piercing, deafening audio of whatever you want, basically. It was on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. They did a reporter who actually did like a demonstration of like what it's like to undergo, you know, getting hit by one of these things, and he could not even last 3 seconds before he had to run away.
Yeah, it's, let's see.
Against fucking American citizens.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the fucking James Bond supervillain type of shit. You don't use a fucking heat ray against your own citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much clearer this can be in what a horrible, horrible situation we are in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that 40% of the nation is okay with this. All of this. The entirety of this. And this is so much more than just a heat ray.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm.
We need to positive peer pressure the fuck out of some of our neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We do. But, we do have some good stuff that happened this week. Proportionally, I guess, at least with some of this. So first and foremost, Governor Gavin Newsom over in California, he signed a bill to make it easier for inmates who volunteer to fight wildfires to actually become legitimate, like actual professional firefighters.
Yeah, because it's designed to make it far easier for them to earn an emergency medical technician certification. The first step you need to become a professional firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
I believe part of that is by being able to expunge your felony records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this creates like a new program that helps them kind of keep the good work going, reward them for their help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, honestly, this is pretty much the brunt of a lot of the wildfires that basically went through last year was actively suppressed by these guys.
Yep.
So
the only offenses that will not be allowed to be expunged are violent offenses, including arson, kidnapping, and rape would be barred from having the records expunged.
Yeah.
Well, the arson one's obvious. California already had a history of firefighters who also turned out to be arsonists. So, yeah. Look up a guy by the name of Robert Orr. He was the arson inspector for, I think, one of the counties in Los Angeles. And it turned out he was one of the most prolific pyromaniacs in that city's history.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, next up. The city of Louisville is agreeing to pay a $12 million settlement to the family of Breonna Taylor.
And along with that, it also comes with a number of changes to Louisville Metro Police policy and practices.
Mm-hmm.
Designed to strengthen officers' connections to the community, reform the search warrant process, make officers more accountable and their actions more transparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that and the civil lawsuit that was filed back in April by her mother against the officers that killed her.
Now, does this also mean that the city's going to have to come out and actually admit wrongdoing in this case? That they're...
No.
Damn it.
Yeah, settlement, however, does not admit any wrongdoing on part of the city, the police, and prevents their family from suing again in the future.
Mm. Yeah. Like, I'm glad they're getting something out of it, but it don't...
They should have had their daughter.
Yeah. I don't think $12 million cuts it, but...
No.
As far as I'm concerned, they should just hand over control of the entire city to that family.
Have they said whether they're going to accept the settlement?
Yeah. Chris, have they said? They have? Okay. All right. But don't let them anyone forget this.
No.
The money doesn't cut it. Not even close.
No.
Yeah, let's see. The changes include early action warning system. Identify officers with red flags. Mandatory commanding officer review of all search warrants.
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory body camera counting from two officers of all currency seizures. Mandatory written approval of SWAT matrices before search warrants are executed. Current officers perform at least 2 paid hours a week of community service in the communities they serve. Housing credits for officers to live in certain low-income census tracts in the city. Hiring a team of social workers to assist with dispatched runs. Commitment to bargain for increased drug and alcohol testing in the next FOP contract. Overhaul processes for simultaneous search warrants. Mandatory EMS paramedic presence for all search warrants. Elimination of the closed by exception basis for closing investigations into officer conduct when there is a retirement or resignation. And personal files, Metro will negotiate with the FOP in 2021 to expand on the records it may maintain in police officers' personnel files.
Mm. Hmm.
So has some good stuff in there.
Yep.
I mean, this can be a blueprint for standard operating procedures for other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, finally, to end this on a nice note, Dave Grohl, who's just kind of a cool dude all around, did a drum battle with a 10-year-old girl, and he ended up ending it by making her a song.
Yep.
Just for her.
Yeah,
he's just a cool dude like that.
Yeah, she's a British girl named Nandi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, made a cool song for her.
Yeah.
And she's got a video, she's got a YouTube channel of her watching it and reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she started it by challenging him in a video that she did the drums for Everlong.
Mm-hmm.
And did a really good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he challenged her back to do, what was it? Them Crooked Vultures, Dead End Friends.
Mm-hmm. And
then he accepted defeat after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely watch the videos because she does a really good job of that, and she puts her own style into it. At a certain point, mm-hmm. she just starts screaming.
Yeah.
While she's doing it.
Yeah. Them Crooked cool. Vultures is good stuff, by the way.
Yeah.
I
was going to see musicians do this kind of stuff to encourage mm-hmm. more people to get into it.
Yeah.
Especially since he's got nothing else to do at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. That's not like they can tour.
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, I guess he did the drums for Everlong for the first time since they recorded them back in 97.
Mm-hmm.
Since
Taylor
Hawkins took over as drummer for that song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rest of stuff after that.
Yeah. Yep. So now with that, we move on to the proper show proper. And unfortunately, here we go. Late breaking news. It was announced literally moments before we started recording. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG, passed away at the age of 87.
Yeah. Something that seemed inevitable here in the near future.
Of course.
But yeah.
But we all hoped that she would be able to hold out. And now we all wish that maybe she had gone ahead and retired when Obama could have appointed her successor.
And she did what now everybody used to do, which is continue to fight.
She was already 83 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you saw the bullshit they pulled when What's-His-Face died.
Yeah, I know. I know, and that's why past the sad for her family and the sad for the loss of the country, there is the mad and the damn determined that every fucking thing better be blocked. We've only got a few weeks to wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been sitting there circling her like vultures waiting for her to die so they can put whoever the fuck it is they want in there. Mm-hmm. And block, 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 do hearings like with Clarence Thomas. Do fucking anything to block it. There's no high road here. There's no playing nice.
There's no playing nice, no being civil.
No. There's no civil. You pick up the sand in the sandbox, you throw it in people's faces right fucking now.
Yeah, and I guess just days before her birth, her death, she dictated a statement to her granddaughter, "My most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed."
Yeah, and that's not the old one getting reelected. That's a new president is installed.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we're recording this, we're now, I think, a little...
Pat had something to say, didn't he? He wrote something.
Yeah, he did, actually. Hold on.
Yeah.
There was so, like we said, Pat isn't with us this week, but he did write something that he wanted us to read here. So let me see if I can get it up on here. Okay. Here it is. It says here, basically, ever since the 2016 election, we on Let's Weekend have been emphasizing the gravity of the 2020 election at every turn, and at the heart of it was never either nominee nor any other candidate but Justice Ginsburg. While it makes me sick that her death is going to go down as a critical tipping point in our nation's history, far more than it will go down as it should, simply as the end of the life of one of the greatest and most important judges to ever sit on the highest court in the land, the reality of the situation dictates that we address the importance of the movement in a purely governmental sense here and now, and find the time to celebrate her life and career in the months to come. Yes, there's no denying that we most likely live in the worst timeline, especially now. This, however, is something that we can and must take as a signal to use all of the power afforded to us as the American public to steer things onto a better and freer course that what could otherwise await us after November. Vote.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing, there is two Republicans that are committing to not vote for a new nominee till after Inauguration Day.
Yeah, I don't freaking trust them.
Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski. That doesn't really matter until Mitch jumps on the train.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah. That just is another reminder that we have some serious work on our hands, folks. So I'll say it again before we sign off, but remember to vote in November. It's important. All right. Next up, we're going to go ahead and open up the garage and back out the COVID-19 dump truck because we got a fresh load for you. And first and foremost, started off worldwide, there are now 30.3 million cases and 948,000 people have passed away. In the United States alone, there are 6.7 million cases and 198,000 deaths. I think that's actually gone over the 200,000 mark now, but
At least right now it's 198K, but yeah. We'll hit that pretty soon here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hit a million deaths here in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the Paul Rudd video.
Mm-hmm.
He put out earlier this week. He calls himself a certified young person.
Mm-hmm.
Uses all of the sort of terms that the young people use. Thick and fleek and all that kind of shit to make a pretty funny video about just fucking putting on masks.
Mm.
Especially a good bit that ends with him like reprising his role in the Hot Ones videos.
Mm-hmm.
With the hot wings, but they're both wearing masks while they're trying to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
That's amusing.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Fauci has warned that the U.S. needs to, quote, hunker down for the fall and winter. And I'm already prepared for that, so.
Yes.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, he said, we need to hunker down and get through this fall and winter because it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
We've been through this before. Don't ever, ever underestimate the potential of the pandemic. And don't try and look at the rosy side of things.
Well, you know.
Mission successful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's
this is
not only we're going to have the pandemic, it's going to be flu season, too.
Yep. It's going to be one awkward holiday season, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a screen holiday
where
everybody gets together on their screens.
Mm-hmm. Next up, the White House has nixed a plan to distribute 650 million masks to all households via the U.S. Postal Service, because of course they did.
Well, yeah, wasn't that something they were going to do like in April or something?
Yeah.
Early on, it was going to happen. Send like about 5 masks to each household.
Yeah.
Should have been a good thing. 5 like reusable masks.
Mm-hmm. That could have been extremely helpful. And, you know, I saw somebody say, well, they said they didn't want to do it because they didn't want to cause a panic. But it's my right to panic if I want to. And how many lives would have been saved if they would have just done this and, you know, ignored their bullshit reason.
They might have been in blue states.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I know.
And also,
you know.
Also, Trump hates the post office.
Yeah.
Old people like it. And he doesn't want to do things that poor old people would like.
Yep. Yeah.
That he blames it on Amazon and Jeff Bezos.
Because he doesn't like WAPO.
Yeah.
Because you're mean to him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't play nice. I would take my ball and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, it's completely, totally justified. Speaking of assholery from the administration, the Trump officials actually interfered with CDC reports on COVID-19. Now, we had already kind of suspected that.
Oh, yeah.
And the evidence was already there, but now it's actually confirmed.
Yep. Some cases, emails from communication aides to CDC Director Robert Redfield. And other senior officials openly complained the agency's reports undermined President Trump's optimistic messages about the outbreak, according to emails reviewed by Politico and 3 other people familiar with the situation. They changed some messages, all that kind of stuff. Had to agree to allow political officials to review the reports ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Changed wording and all that kind of stuff. Even led to the point of them kind of undermining their reports. For cases and deaths and all that kind of stuff to create their own sort of database. You know, all the good stuff you want.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this the story goes even weirder in this next little bit because it involves this guy.
Yeah. Puto, the guy who had been, I forgot, what was his position?
Top spokesman at the Department of Health and Human Services.
Yeah, the Department of Health and Human Services Yeah, because of the news we just mentioned, he did not take it very well, and he ended up making a rant video that's like conspiracy Latin, and like he's talking about like shadowy figures getting ready, you know, coming to kill him and all this. And yeah, it's obvious the dude is mentally unstable. And I don't say that flippantly. I mean, no, he is genuinely mentally ill. He has even admitted as such. So he's taking a leave of absence.
Yeah, 2 months. Mm. Accused government scientists of sedition, working to undermine President Donald Trump, which it's not how they work.
Yeah.
It's not how this stuff works. Yeah, he...
People need to stop throwing around that goddamn sedition word so much this week. It's starting to really tick me off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they understand what a serious word that is and a serious action behind that word.
Yeah, it's like they have a calendar chosen. Here's the word of the week. Sedition.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Try and use this in everything you say this week. You know, that kind
it's
of
the QAnon. Shit. It's like the... God, yep. Can you imagine if, like, QAnon had, like, a freaking advent calendar? But instead of, like, opening it up and having, like, a piece of candy or something inside, it's just like a bleached pill or something. Because, you know, that's what the president said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark humor.
Yep.
If I'm not laughing, I would be getting fetal on the floor, sobbing. But, yeah. Speaking of the... As far as Caputo goes, like, this is not something new for him. He's been doing, like, weird trolley shit like this forever. Do you guys ever heard of Joe My God, the famous blog? Joe My God is it's a blog that famously focuses mostly on LGBT issues. And back around, what was it, 2014 or so, when right around the time when same-sex marriage was made legal, Caputo basically went on this like weird trolling campaign against Joe, like to the point that he actually doxed him and shit.
My God.
Yeah, the dude's not well at all. It is legit. He is legit mentally unstable. Yeah.
Good grief.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, the only thing I'm shocked about is that there aren't more guys like him in the administration.
Well, maybe there are.
They just hide it better? Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, speaking of the CDC, they say the U.S. should have enough vaccine to return to normal by late 2021.
Hmm.
And I think that's, like, the conservative estimate.
Yeah, so, hey, got another year of this shit.
I know. I was really hoping to, like, take a vacation next summer.
Mm. Oh, my parents are still going down to Florida next month, so.
Well,
as long as you go out in the middle of the woods, you might be able to.
Yeah, we are going to go to Kentucky for a couple of days and a couple of weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
If it was any other anniversary, we would not go. But it's someone's 50th, and we don't have to go, but yeah.
The rest of the family is making it feel like you're obligated to?
No, not so much, actually. No. Yeah. A lot of the family will be there.
All right. Because
religious reasons, and... you know, some of us just want a beer.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I changed my mind. Yeah, that is a perfectly legitimate reason.
You totally understand.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now with that, next up, we're going to have a segment we're probably going to do over the next couple weeks, at least until we end up until the election actually happens. 2020 U.S. Election Watch. Amidst all the fuckery and douchery that's been happening, some of y'all may remember that point where President Trump basically suggested that all of his voters go vote twice.
Sure, remember that.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
Now, as he kind of keeps trying to obfuscate and say, no, I didn't say that. I just said that, you know, if you're going to vote, vote by mail. And then if you're not, you know, if you want to go, go and vote in person and confirm it. It's like, no, that's voting twice. That's a felony.
Huh? And he keeps trying to walk that shit back like everything else.
Well, no, first he tried to actually double down, and then now he's trying to walk it back.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of his MO, basically.
It is, yeah.
But the Attorney General of, of the state of North Carolina confirms that it is indeed a felony to vote twice after Trump's latest tweet. Yep.
Yeah, so they blocked his tweets, Trump's tweet.
Mm-hmm.
He made last Saturday, I think. Saying North Carolina to make sure your ballot counts, sign and send it in early. When polls open, go to your polling place to see if it was counted. If not, vote. Your signed ballot will not count because your vote has been posted. Don't let them illegally take away your vote. Legally take your vote away from you.
Again, that is voting twice, which is illegal.
Yeah. Twitch, Josh Stein here, the Attorney General, said, do not do what the president directs. To make sure your ballot counts, sign and send it in early, then track it online with ballot tracks. It's their site, I assume. Do not vote twice. It's a felony or waste your time mm-hmm. or unnecessarily risk exposure to more people. It follows it up. The only good thing about the president's tweet is that he finally encourages voters to vote by mail. It's an easy, yeah. safe, and secure way to cast a ballot. And links to a place to request yours for North Carolina.
Mm.
I think there's a bunch more information for people mm-hmm. there.
Oh, yeah, that's that's funny, isn't it? He's now actually saying that, no, voting by mail is just fine. You should go do it. Even after he's made all the noise about how it's riddled with fraud.
Flippy floppy. I really, really want us to pay attention to whether or not the suggestion of doing fact-checking during debates is going to be acted upon.
Well, apparently Joe Rogan's going to be the guy who's fucking moderating one of them. So,
Joe Rogan, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's like a fourth debate.
Yeah,
that
I guess.
He wants to do, which nobody...
He wants to do. Apparently Trump has agreed to it. Whether or not Biden will, I don't know.
Yeah, if you're wondering what Spotify's been paying for, I think he just recently pushed the whole Antifa set the fire wildfires in Oregon thing.
Yeah, and then walked it back today. But
yeah, so congrats, Spotify. That's what you got on your platform.
So glad I've never given them a dime.
Yeah.
The only reason you should ever watch that show is if Bill Burr is on, and the only reason you should watch that show when Bill Burr is on is because Bill Burr is the only guy who's actually got the balls to roast him on his own show. He actually got on to him about the fact that he wasn't wearing a mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
She and the Bernie went on there.
Mm-hmm. And apparently he agreed with a lot of what Bernie has to say, so I'm starting to wonder if it's just that Joe Rogan is a freaking idiot or he has no ideas or, you know,
wait,
let's just go with...
Joe Rogan might not be the smartest person in the world?
Actually, yeah. I was going to say, yeah, let's go with option number one.
Or his fans may be distorting a lot of things, too. Because if truth be told, I have watched no more than 45 minutes of Joe Rogan in my whole life.
The only Joe Rogan I've seen is The X Factor.
Yeah. No.
That was one the most tolerable Joe Rogan.
I watched his stand-up special on Comedy Central once.
Oh, he's a comedian? I thought he was
That's
just
what
a
he started
dude.
Off doing, yeah.
That was
oh, I thought
thing.
He was just a podcast type dude.
He's actually the guy who actually basically destroyed Carlos Mencia's career. Because he basically revealed that Mencia had been stealing
Making
a bunch of
jokes.
Other people's jokes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And of course, that's not even his real name either. It's Ned Holness. But yeah, he's basically the guy who destroyed Carlos Mencia's career. At a time when, remember, he actually had
he was
a
popular.
Fairly... Yeah, he had a really popular show on Comedy Central.
Yeah, God, we used to watch this shit all the time.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's the guy that coined the phrase Carlos Mencia. Yep.
I actually didn't know about him.
If you ever get a chance, go on YouTube, because this isn't just like a thing he did on a podcast. He actually did this in public with Carlos Mencia on stage with him.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So an unofficial roast.
Yeah. But anyway, next up, for the first time in the 175 years it has existed, the Scientific American has endorsed a political candidate, Joe Biden.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how anti-science Trump is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say Scientific American has never endorsed a presidential candidate in its 175-year history. This year we're compelled to. We do not do this lightly. The evidence and the science show that Donald Trump has badly damaged the U.S. and its people because he rejects evidence and science. The most devastating example is his dishonest and inept response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. Which cost more than 190,000 Americans their lives by the middle of September. He has also attacked environmental protections, medical care, and the researchers and public science agencies that help this country prepare for its greatest challenges. That is why we urge you to vote for Joe Biden, who's offering fact-based plans to protect our health, our economy, and the environment. There are the proposals he has put forth that can set the country back on course for a safer, more prosperous, and more equitable future.
You know, it... It reminds me of being in doctor's offices back in the day. This wouldn't happen now. And you could tell a lot by the office staff by what magazines they had out on the tables. And you could also tell a lot by the clientele based on which ones were all ragged and dog-eared looking. And it was usually like fucking People magazine. And nobody touched National Geographic, Scientific America, all these other ones. Although I was always really happy when I saw Utna Reader, however it's pronounced. But no, that's...
Mine had a bunch of old issues of Nintendo Power.
Yeah? Okay, oh, that's pretty cool. No, I didn't. I never saw gaming magazines at the doctor's offices.
Well, then you went to a lame doctor.
Yeah, I certainly did.
Yeah. But anyway, this is actually one of my favorite stories from this week. Trump actually went and decided to do a town hall with undecided voters.
Really?
Yeah. Hosted by George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, both did it this week.
And I don't know if it was his ego or somebody in his regimen thought that, you know, this would be a good idea for him to do, but it was a disaster because he was not in his bubble anymore. And like when he is not in his bubble, it becomes painfully obvious, even to many of his followers, just how screwed up he really is.
Yeah. There's somebody
he came off as snarky, like out of touch, doddering, stuttering.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad.
Yeah, there's one that asked about his handling COVID-19. The president and the people, why would he downplay a pandemic that is known to disproportionately harm low-income families and minority communities? Yeah, well, I didn't downplay it. I actually, in many ways, I upplayed it. In terms of action, my action was very strong. A play is not a word, you dumbass.
That is the most non-answer.
Answer.
Ever,
yeah.
And like, just sheer idiocy.
It's like, why did you fuck this up so bad? Well, I didn't fuck it up. I unfucked it. It's like, no, it's...
It's like saying, I didn't lose. I merely failed to win.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's a bunch of stuff. Somebody was asking about racial injustice and police brutality. Well, I think they were tragic events, and I do feel that we have to also take into consideration that if you look at our police, they do a phenomenal job. You also have people choke, make mistakes, and they happen. It happens where they have to make a fast decision. Some bad things happen. So you added that there are bad apples, but 99% are great people. And I will say this, if you're going to stop crime, we have to give the respect back to the police that they deserve. I agree with you. Those events are terrible. We have to allow the police to do their job. Otherwise, crime is going to soar.
But there's that one particular moment that everyone remembers. Go ahead.
Which one was that?
It's the woman with the pre-existing condition asking him. And, like, he interrupts her midway through the question, and she actually, like, tells him to his face, shut up, let me finish.
Yeah, see, she voted for Hillary Clinton 2016, suffers from a disease called sarcoidosis. Trump, what he's going to do about people like her with the pre-existing conditions as he challenges Obamacare in court without having presented a replacement health care plan. We're not going to hurt pre-existing conditions, and in fact, just the opposite. Trump said before falsely claiming Democrats would get rid of protections for pre-existing conditions
or
take on, quote, socialized medicine, although Biden has said he would not support Medicare for all. We're going to be doing a health care plan very strongly and protect people with pre-existing conditions. Trump went on to emphasize how he got rid of Obamacare's individual mandate, a financial penalty for not having medical insurance, and claimed that he has, quote, other alternatives with Obamacare that are 50% less expensive than and that they are actually better. Stefanov said, it's been 3.5 years. George, it's been 40 years since you had good health care. I believe at some point, I don't know if it was during this or somewhere else, but he claimed a dog ate the health care plan, which is like...
Okay. That's a funny joke for something that's not serious.
Yeah.
Healthcare is serious.
Yeah.
There's no levity with him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is such a silly way to, like, say, well, it's not my fault. You know, it is his fault.
It is so his fault.
Yeah, it's just overall a disaster for a guy who cannot really figure out whatever his platforms are.
No.
He doesn't really have any specific plans.
No.
Vote November, people. All right.
Hard. Vote hard.
So, next up, going out of American politics into the politics of the Far East. God, that sounds so stupid and cliche. Ugh. All the way in Japan, Shinzo Abe. You guys know he stepped down as prime minister recently.
Yeah.
And we were wondering, you know, who's the guy that's going to end up taking his place, and basically his right-hand man, Yoshihide Suga, ends up getting voted in as the new prime minister.
Yep.
And that's about it. They're not really that different on anything. Again, he was his right-hand man, so it's basically just Shinzo Abe continuing, but just not in name, more or less. You know, until Abe feels well enough that he can go back and be prime minister again. Because he already did this once before.
Yeah.
It's a good time to remind folks that Japan, even though it's technically a liberal democracy, is basically a de facto one-party state and has been since the end of World War II.
Yeah.
Moving on from there. Kids, probably not going to like this, but... TikTok and WeChat, they are going to be banned from U.S. app stores starting this Sunday.
Yep, 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 yay, yay, yay.
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad TikTok is going because, let's be honest, that thing is the worst, like, it loaded with so much malware and shit that goes into it.
Oh, it's worse than that. It is insidious.
Yes.
It is. Malware is nothing. Ransomware is nothing compared to the shit. And just the general stupidity that it encourages. For every truly creative and awesome thing that comes out of there, out of the people who are posting, there's you know, like 60 terabytes, good mm-hmm. God, it's Friday. There's 60 terabytes of bad clips of inane, stupid, mindless crap. Shitty reality TV laden People magazine reading bullshit.
So you're saying it's like all social media?
Yeah. It's basically Vine. Yeah.
And it's worse. It's worse. The Monday morning, I was listening to my local radio show because I thought maybe they would not play very many commercials. And, you know, I used to listen to it when I commuted and then flip channels whenever the commercials came on. And they said it's 7:38 in some Walgreens in the city, or 6:38 a.m. I think it was 6:38 a.m. Monday morning. They had gotten a call because teenage boys were sliding around the aisles on their bellies covered in peanut butter. And somebody said, is this possibly weed related? And they're like, nah, man, this is going to be some TikTok bullshit right there. And it mm-hmm. is. It's going to be some TikTok bullshit.
Yeah, if you're on weed, you'd eat that peanut butter.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No joke.
Honestly, if you're at a walk, you know, there's really only, if it's like the evening or something, there's really only three reasons to be in a Walgreens.
Condoms, baby medicine.
Medicine or that cheap beer.
Yeah. It's not cheap there either. They charge too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is cheap beer.
Mm-hmm.
Just at a marked up price. As is everything at Walgreens.
And now for a story that is really going to make you want to punch your screen. Get ready for this. So you know back a couple years ago when Hurricane Maria came and struck Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And it basically leveled the island.
Yeah. And Trump didn't do shit.
And there are still parts of it that are still recovering from it.
Yep.
And you remember how they asked for all that federal aid?
Yeah, and like billions of dollars of it. Sand. And he has shit on them and left them without power for 6 months and absolutely did nothing to help them as American citizens whatsoever.
Yeah.
Let me set this
guess
up
what?
For you.
They finally got the $13 billion in aid this week, 3 years after the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, conveniently.
In time to buy
right before the election. Yeah. Yeah.
Even though they can't really vote in it.
Well, it just influences like, all the Puerto Ricans that are in Florida.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, no, actually, aren't most Puerto Ricans in New York and California? Well, yeah, there's a bunch of them in Florida, too, I guess. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Like, hey, we gave you the money.
Yeah, I can pretty much guarantee you that isn't going to work, though.
We'll see. Yeah, I don't know if you saw Mitch McConnell doing a bunch of fear-mongering about the Democrats winning the Senate. So mm-hmm. they're going to make Puerto Rico and D.C. states. They're going to get, you know, four more senators out of that and then take over the Supreme Court and stack it and add more. And it's going to be a liberal hellscape. It's like, you know, terrible things like that.
Hey, thanks for giving us great ideas.
People getting mm-hmm. the right to vote. That's awful.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
If that were to happen, you'd never have another Republican president. He says it like it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think people posted the gifts as from Archer. It's like, stop, I'm already hard enough.
Yeah, it's like, stop, I can only get so erect. Yeah. But,
when they post lists like, here's all the evil stuff that the Democrats want, the Green New Deal and socialized
healthcare, free college, canceling student loan debt.
This is all evil stuff.
Is this supposed to be bad?
Yeah.
That's how you know you're so deep in your bubble that this is supposed to be like the thing that makes people run for the hills, and yet everyone else is like, oh, we can have that?
Could be.
All right, let's do that. Yeah, I can get on board with that. Let's do that.
Hey, thanks for the endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
the Fox mm-hmm. News endorsement. Well, if they think it's so bad, it must be great.
Yeah. Yeah, but they are still flying the flag of, you know, Trump is the last desperate defense against socialism. And
he's the one ordained by God.
Yeah, I can be honest with you.
For decades.
They're really desperate. Have you guys, I'm going to guess, you guys have probably seen, because now the political ads are starting in earnest. And
I see them definitely tell that, like, on Imgur and stuff.
Yeah. As far as, like, commercials go, you can definitely tell, like, who is, who exactly the commercial is for, because the ones that are, like, that are based around, endorsing Joe Biden, tend to be pretty low-key and down-to-earth. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. saying that he isn't, like, going hard on stuff, because he definitely is, but he isn't, like, filling it with, like, a bunch of flashy graphics and shit.
Right,
a bunch of, like, somber pictures and some voiceover, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Trump ones, on the other hand, are a completely different story.
It's got to have all the bling, all the flash.
Yeah. All the people. Some of them. He's using a lot of stock footage, too.
Oh, yeah. That and they're doctoring a lot of Biden footage.
Yeah.
And photos.
Yes, they are.
They got nothing that can really condemn him on. Look at this picture of him with his kids wearing Washington's Redskins hats. Because that's what it was in the 70s. So, oh my God, he's being a father. How evil.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a father in your as president.
Yeah, he might actually know his kids' birthdays, and I'm sure Trump doesn't.
Yeah.
I did see one ad, and I don't know who did it necessarily.
See, keep in mind that, Trump also has a couple of super PACs behind him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he's had to pony up some of his own money for this campaign.
Yeah.
They're running low on it, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, there was one, it had what's her face, and she's like, well, he's definitely not a typical father, and then just went on to show clips of him saying, well, if she wasn't my daughter, I might be dating her, and all the awkward moments, and when in for a kiss from someone, and she's just like, ugh.
Ew, gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he's talking about what they have in common. He's like, well, I was going to say sex.
Yeah, that was part of it, yeah.
It's like, that's not what you say you have in common with your daughter.
It's just, it is. It's gross and awkward.
Yeah.
Because he's a gross and awkward person.
Indeed.
In numerous ways. But so, moving on from there. Speaking of hurricanes, right now, as we speak, there's a new storm that's formed in the Atlantic Ocean, and they're currently calling it Alpha. Why are they calling it Alpha?
We ran out of fucking letters.
They've literally run out of names, and they've had to resort to the Greek alphabet.
Yeah. It's been one other year that we had to do that, 2005.
Yeah.
Where they got six deep in that.
Yeah.
So was
that also the year Katrina hit New Orleans?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got our first one here with Alpha. Yeah, because the current ones that are going on out there is Wilfred and Teddy.
Yeah.
We don't use the letters Q, U, X, Y, and Z because there's not many names to cycle through for that.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of Q names now. Eh, whatevs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if any of you guys saw my post on Facebook a couple days ago where I talked about, like, hey, I had to actually drag the heater out because it started to get chilly.
I did see that.
You know, after weeks on end of it basically being in the mid-90s, it's actually pleasant and cool outside. Now, if we can avoid another tropical storm here in Georgia, this might end up being a relatively okay fall.
It might. Maybe.
Well, I hope I didn't curse us all.
You may have.
because of climate change, that's a thing we have to deal with here in Georgia now.
Yeah.
I mean, I will admit that the one that first big one that hit us, that one was kind of unusual. But unusual only because climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like you guys are getting a little bit lucky with Sally.
Yeah, we basically just got a shit ton of rain, basically.
Yeah. Well, they got tons of rain, but enough to flood.
Yeah, we did actually have to get a... It was like earlier this week we got when it came, and we did get the flash flood warning from our iPhones.
Yeah, one of the guys one of the guys that I used to play Final Fantasy XI with posted a picture of his pretty car with half a tree through it. And I guess it was just a bad storm. I thought it might have been hurricane related since he lives in Florida. Mm. But yeah, it really did a number to it, right through the sunroof and the window and water cascading down the console into all the electronics in the dash in the middle area.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, real nice.
Mm.
Now he knows what it's like to shove something unexpected into a small space.
Yeah.
Get on the receiving end of that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As long as nobody was in the cards.
Yeah.
Nobody was, but he still owed $16,000 on it. Let's hope that the insurance will give him that much and they don't make him upside down on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is real easy to get upside down on cars.
Yeah.
You know, basically buy it new and drive it off the lot, and you're way upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's got tree fucking insurance.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. That's hard. Hard to say. With Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
So, now for what was probably the big scientific news this week. Scientists found signs of potential life on Venus.
Yeah. Now,
it's big news, but we don't really need to exaggerate this because
It's not like
a satellite got photos of little green men.
Right.
What they did is they found a particular... Well, explain it, Chris.
So what happened here is they detected amongst the acidic clouds that Venus has is what they think is a gas called phosphine, which does not occur naturally on Earth, but is... expelled by microbes, which is why we are assuming, scientists are assuming, at least initially here, that that may be a sign of life. There's some sort of microbial life that is expelling this weird phosphine they're detecting. Because on Earth, it's produced by bacteria thriving in oxygen-starved environments. The international scientific teams spotted this using the James Clerk Maxwell Telescope in Hawaii. Confirmed it with the Atacama Large Millimeter Submillimeter Array Telescope in Chile, which is kind of a big deal. But yeah, they say, I should emphasize that life as an explanation for our discovery should be, as always, the last resort. Mm-hmm. It's important because if it is phosphine and if it is life, it means we are not alone. It also means that life itself must be very common. I've seen many other inhabited planets throughout our galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's also weird because Venus is just a very weird planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's see, it was seen at, phosphine was seen at 20 parts per billion in the Venusian atmosphere trace concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Examine potential non-biological sources such as volcanism, meteorites, lightning, various types of chemical reactions, but none appeared viable.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still kind of working on figuring out how this could have appeared. But yeah, it's wrapped in like a thick toxic atmosphere that traps in heat. So surface temperatures can reach up to like 880 degrees Fahrenheit, enough to melt lead.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they suspect that maybe these are kind of things that happen in the atmosphere where it's cooler. Some stuff like that where in the Venusian high clouds with mild temperatures around 86 degrees Fahrenheit harbor aerial microbes that can endure extreme acidity. The clouds are around 90% sulfuric acid.
Mm.
So definitely earth microbes cannot survive that acidity.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of a cool discovery of sorts. Just needs more dedicated resources to kind of figure out like what is potentially going on. And I would love to see like what sort of device they would have to make that could survive all of that extreme temperatures and the sulfuric acid clouds and all that kind of shit that's going on in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting because it's like they've zeroed it down to like, yeah, that couldn't happen unless something was alive down there.
Yeah.
But it, you know, but the thing is that the conditions on Venus are so harsh that it's not really going to be like complex life forms, but it looks like something might be alive there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like Destiny.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is habitable now, I guess. Kind of an ice planet.
Mm.
Weird shit like that.
Yeah. And now on to the entertainment part of the show. So you guys know that Marvel's going to be doing a She-Hulk TV series, and we now know who's going to be playing her. It's Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah.
So I guess there's going to be some CG involved, but...
Yeah, but she was probably most well-known for being on Orphan Black.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's seems like a pretty good casting there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see... Rick and Morty writer Jessica Gao has been tapped to lead the writer's room.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what the whole... how they approach She-Hulk in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her whole thing is she's Bruce Banner's cousin.
Yeah.
And kind of gets a blood transfusion with him as an emergency thing. Mm-hmm. It gives her... kind of the powers of the Hulk, but without a lot of the side effects.
Yeah, basically, she's permanently in Hulk mode, basically.
And she keeps her intelligence and personality and all that.
Yeah. She's also, like, her day job is a lawyer, an attorney, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be neat to see.
Yeah, this could be a good way to reintroduce some of the other lawyer heroes into the MCU.
Like Daredevil, for example.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if she is like around Hell's Kitchen, that kind of thing. I'm not sure where she is generally.
Well, that hasn't stopped Marvel before, so.
Yeah.
They'll find a way.
Yep.
But also, we got news this week that CBS All Access, they're going to be renaming it to Paramount Plus. Huh. So, yep, got yet another freaking streaming service.
Oh, and that they... And all of them have lost their ability to name their services.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, Disney Plus exists, so now we just name it Paramount Plus.
Because
mm-hmm. who cares about fucking names?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this, I guess, is their rebranding of their whole CBS All Access. Starts in early 2021. Let's see. Showtime will continue to operate separately from Paramount Plus. Just kind of a sister streaming service to CBS All Access. But they might do some bundling of that stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, CBS All Access right now is $6 per month for ad-supported streaming. $10 a month for ad-free streaming. Which kind of seems stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Peacock is kind of doing its right where you can kind of get the basic access to a lot of the stuff that's on there for free with ads. And if you want to start paying, you get the ads taken off, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like two tiers of like, do you want to get the basic amount of stuff or all of it
mm.
for the paid tiers? Yeah. Hey, Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like you said.
Everybody knows Paramount.
Mm-hmm. All right. And finally, last story for the night. Christopher Nolan's recent film, Tenet, might have just killed theaters for good. Well, yeah. I say that. That's a bit of hyperbole, but it is going to hurt them very badly.
Yeah, because the prospect of theaters starting to open up and getting Tenet is like one of the flagship early movies pushes theaters into a weird whole position where they had to, where before when they were shut down, they could negotiate rent more easily to get it lower. But now that they're actually opening, they kind of have much less wiggle room on that stuff. And Tenet is not necessarily doing all that well.
Nope.
Like I saw its opening weekend was averaging like $5,000 per theater.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
Nope.
Especially for the big chains that want to be pulling in money.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's, let's see, earned about $6.7 million in its second weekend after about $23 million its first. Just under $30 million in 2 weeks. You know, Nolan's been very much like one of the big directors, been like, yeah, we're not doing digital.
Yeah.
We're doing theater only. And you might end up killing a lot of theaters in his quest for remaining pure on that position.
Yep.
Well, I also wonder if like the push to reopen some things and it backfiring and just having a bad taste in everybody's mouth is going to change how they're perceived in the future. And it's not just this, it's other things too, like gyms and even bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially for places like bars where there's a lot more taking off of the mask to ingest your, you know, drinks and food and all that. Even theaters have that issue as well, but they can at least enforce like,
They'll do three seats in between people and then staggered, you know, so there's not somebody right behind you kicking your seat.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's also a lot of things, too, that are not really sustainable in 2020. And CD sales and theater ticket sales rank real high up there in my brain on things that people ain't gonna spend money on, even if the pandemic hadn't hit.
Yeah.
That's why I think a lot of theaters should have, if they could, found a way to do some sort of like drive-in theater thing, like a way to project it onto the side of a building, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just use radio to, or some
but
sort of streaming
instead,
service
it's,
to
do it's it. Been municipalities that have been doing that with older things and libraries and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's interesting where our local government has taken over as the de facto theater.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's gotten a number of the big movie studios just rethinking like what other movies they're going to try to put in theaters, which ones they're not. It's like Disney's got their slightest stuff, and like the rumors that Soul, the new Pixar movie, is going to be going to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Maybe Black Widow would go to theater, but who knows how this is all going to work out. And it's hilarious when I get push notifications from my Regal app. It's like, oh, hey, come in. We're doing special screening of Empire Strikes Back for the 40th anniversary. It's like, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
I can watch my Blu-ray here for free.
Yeah.
I would be up for that in normal circumstances, but it's not normal.
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch a movie I own in a theater and potentially get sick.
Yep. I would much prefer to do that. Yes.
All right. Maybe if you were doing some sort of projection onto a wall
outside
of the theater, and I could
thing that you could possibly get in your automobile and, you know, drive up, a drive-in, if you will.
Yeah, a drive-y-watchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll work on the name, but but yeah, so good job, Christopher Nolan. You may have killed movie theaters as a concept forever.
Yep.
All because you couldn't get over your fucking ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you see, he's a true auteur.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to make him more niche now.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. So, with that, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. We'll be on there. And if we're not, just wait a few minutes. We will be, eventually. We are inevitable. We're kind of like Thanos in that, I don't know. I have no idea where I was supposed to take that. I had this idea in my hand and head, and I was like, you know what? Maybe this would be a good idea. And then halfway out of my mouth, I'm like, this is fucking stupid. But it was too late. I had to finish the sentence.
Oh my God.
Anyway. So yeah, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Chris Sologi and Teresa Sammons, good night, sleep tight, remember to vote in November.
Fuck Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stand behind that.
I can support that.
Fuck Craig.
Yes, also screw Craig.